John Grisham, the author of more than 24 novels, including The Firm, The Last Juror, The Confession, and The Litigators, has at least temporarily abandoned the land of the three-piece suit and the billable hour and turned to baseball. His most recent novel is Calico Joe. The author joins me from NPR's New York Bureau. John Grisham, welcome to Only a Game.
Happy to be here.
Once you decided to write a novel starring a hitter, you didn't kid around. Calico Joe Castle begins his major league career with three consecutive home runs. Why were you going for the exceptionally unlikely at the outset?
Well, you want to read about somebody exceptional. You want to get the reader's attention. You want to tell a story that's never been told. You want to write about a player who never played. And to do that, you got to jazz it up a bit. You know, baseball is a game of endless statistics. And it was great fun, messing around with some of those numbers.
Joe Castle's team is the 73 Chicago Cubs. By assigning the poor guy to the Cubs, were you trying to tip readers off that ultimately things wouldn't go well?
Yeah, I'm not sure why I did. I'm a Cardinals fan. I don't know why I picked the Cubs. No, you know, I always liked the Cubs. I grew up with Ernie Banks and Ron Santo and Ferguson Jenkins and Billy Williams and Don Kessinger and... I'm a diehard Cardinal fan, but I don't hate the Cubs like most Cardinal fans. I would love to see a World Series in Wrigley Field. It was fun picking a real team in a real pennant race. It's mainly about the Cubs and Mets in 1973, and the narrator starts the story 30 years later in 2003, and the story goes back and forth and back and forth as the drama's played out. But a lot of true characters, real ballplayers, and some fictional ones thrown in to kind of jazz it up.
You are, of course, the master of writing best-selling novels featuring lawyers. So it was being a baseball fan that led you to set a novel in baseball?
Yeah. Over the years, I have wanted to write two baseball novels, one for kids, one for adults. And I've just been waiting on the story. And in the meantime, I've written two novels about football and other, you know, non- legal type books. The older I get, the more anxious I get, the more curious I get about writing different, to see if I can write different kinds of books. I had no idea that my two baseball novels would come together in one story. Hmm. And that's what happened with Calico Joe.
Well, let's get back to the story itself. Calico Joe is a preposterously successful rookie in a novel which also features a tense father-son relationship set in baseball and an old, large-hearted, small-town newspaper editor, and he remembers everything and is known to take a drink. Were you at all worried about cliches as you developed this novel?
I don't think about cliches. I think about the story. I think about the characters I want to tell the story and live the story. There's so many things I don't worry about or don't think about. I'm not here to deliver messages or sermons or give morality tales. I'm here to tell stories. I think that's my strength as a writer, is to tell a good story.
Were you a baseball player yourself, or were you writing from the outside?
No, I played baseball from the time I can remember as a little boy, through Little League, through high school. I started for 2 years on my high school baseball team. Like all the kids on my street, we were going to play for the Cardinals. We all dreamed of being, you know, big league players. And growing up in Arkansas and Mississippi, where I'm from, every small town, every porch, every car, every kitchen had a radio. And if the Cardinals were playing, everybody knew the score. I can vividly recall playing Little League baseball, hot summer nights in Mississippi, and being able to hear three or four radios scattered around the bleachers with Harry Carey and Jack Buck and Mike Shannon calling the game, the Cardinals game. You would hear people start clapping or yelling or cheering in the bleachers, not for us on the field, but because the Cardinals had scored. It was such a way of life. The difference is, growing up in the Deep South, we didn't have access to the games. And as I've traveled around later in life and been lucky enough to write books and travel, especially to New York and other big cities, I'm so envious of the friends I've met who grew up, you know, at Fenway, at Wrigley, at Yankee Stadium, at watching the Baltimore Orioles, you know, the real players, the players I'd idolized and dreamed of.
Maybe for a writer, though, it was better to have all that transpiring at a distance so you could imagine it.
there's a magic in radio that it's a lost art now. I love still to listen to a baseball game, especially a college football game on the radio, because the really good announcers can bring it to life, and it's what you don't see. You know, the roar of the crowd, the crack of the bat, and you can just envision what it was like being there. My first memory as a child, I was probably 5 or 6 years old, is sitting on the front porch of my grandparents' home in the cotton fields of Arkansas late at night, hot summertime, with my father and grandfather arguing about Stan Musial. While the game was on the radio, my mother and grandmother shelling butter beans, and I was a little boy sitting on the steps listening to the crowd from St. Louis, which was a million miles away.
In an author's note at the end of the book, you bring up what you call baseball's code. Tell me what that code is as you understand it and how important it is to the novel.
Primarily, it's about when do you throw at a batter and when do you not throw at a batter. Every team handles it differently, but there are times in many games where a batter gets hit for no apparent reason or for an obvious reason. And then the question becomes, do you retaliate? How do you retaliate? Who do you hit in retaliation? Where do you hit them? And what might it mean to the outcome of the game? There are times, though, when a batter knows he's got it coming. Mm. Maybe the last time up he hit a home run, maybe he overdid the celebration. So especially in the old days. Nowadays, they do so much hot dogging, you can't even, everybody does it now. I would always say I would love to see Barry Bonds hit a home run off of Bob Gibson. And just see how long he would stand at the plate, see if he would do all that hot dogging.
And watching
He'd probably duck his head and sprint around the bases, and hurry back to the dugout, because nobody did that with Bob Gibson.
Perhaps I shouldn't have to ask, given your track record with the movies, but have you sold the film rights to Calico Joe for millions of dollars yet?
Not for millions, and no, we have not sold the film rights. The book was just published, and typically when a book comes out, it's seen by a lot of people who make movies, and there are a lot of phone calls, and the phone calls eventually die out and go away. And if somebody's serious about it, they'll hang around, and then we'll get serious. I've learned not to get in a hurry with the film adaptations. It's very difficult to get a movie made these days as opposed to 20 years ago when it was almost automatic, it seemed like. But we have some very strong interest from a couple of really good people right now that who want to do the movie. I tell people all the time with movies, don't believe you're ever going to see the movie until, I don't care how many contracts have been signed, how many promises have been made, until they start filming. Because at that point, somebody's put down some serious cash and there's going to be a movie. So I'll believe it when I see it.
John Grisham is the author of a score of bestsellers, and his most recent novel is Calico Joe, published by Doubleday. The author joined me from NPR's New York Bureau. John Grisham, thank you very much for speaking with me.
My pleasure. I enjoyed it.
How would you like a copy of John Grisham's new baseball novel? Visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/onlyagameradio. Like the page, then click like on our post about my interview with John Grisham. We'll choose 5 lucky winners to receive a copy of Calico Joe. Visit facebook.com/onlyagameradio. Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Perotti. Our intern is Jeremy Conlin. Special thanks this week to reporter Phil Latzman at WLRN in Miami. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view Karen's photo gallery, please visit onlyagame.org. Our final word this week comes from John Grisham, who discloses the title of his next novel.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
It's the tale of a young man unfairly accused of agricultural theft in the Deep South and the heroic public defender who struggles to clear his name. No, I'm just kidding. That was just a microphone check. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. The Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for improving education and enrichment for children both in and out of school, at wallacefoundation.org. And the Poetry Foundation, celebrating 100 years of Poetry Magazine, online at poetryfoundation.org. This is NPR.